You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mom made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics Podcast. Here on the Locked On Podcast Network, I want to thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We're here for you Monday through Friday. Happy Wednesday, hump day. We're going to get you past this one, and then your week is almost over, and then long weekend coming up. So hooray for you guys. It doesn't really apply to me anymore. Like, the normal rules don't apply to me anymore. It's kind of weird, and not necessarily better or worse, just different. Just anyway, that's neither here nor there. I'm John Corrales, by the way, of MassLive.com. Cover the Celtics. I'm on the Celtics beat, so the offseason's a new experience for me. Joined today by Samuel Jamison Packard III.
Jam!
Also known as Ladies Love Cool Jam. A.K.A. Young Baby Jamwich.
Yum!
That I did not expect. The soft J. Damn, you always get me on a good one. That's a good one.
All right. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yum. That's a good one. Yogging. Yogging. today, we're going to spend the whole show trying to put together a realistic Anthony Davis trade. We're going to figure out. We're going to try to really drill down this Anthony Davis stuff and figure out who's really got the best package here. We're going to try. And we're going to do this courtesy of our sponsors. Father's Day is coming up, so a number of sponsors here. Hotels.com. You can use Hotels.com to book the trip to go see your dad and to get your dad a gift. Untuck It. You can go to untuckit.com with the promo code NBA to get 20% off some great-looking attire for your dad. Probably needs some new things. And shirts, tall, slim, relaxed, all of those sizes at untuckit.com with the promo code NBA to get 20% off. Also, Grip 6 belts. I got Grip 6 belt. It's pretty cool. No flaps, no holes, no nothing. It just, as I have expanded over the winter, it expands with me. And as I hope to shrink over the summer, it shrinks with me. It's always the perfect fit. So pick up a Grip 6 belt. As always, you can subscribe to this show on the new Himalaya podcast app. Go ahead and download that, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And you can get in your car and ask your smart device to play podcasts Locked On Celtics. Okay, Jam. Let's pop open this trade machine and start.
Let's do it.
Let's figure this out. Okay? Everybody's trying to figure out who does have the best. Boston people say, oh, Boston has the best offer. And New York, the Lakers. Who else is in play here? The Nets?
The Nets?
The Nets are – I just read a thing today that the Nets are going to be after Anthony Davis as –
Ooh, let me recalibrate my rankings here then. But that's interesting. Yeah, totally makes sense. Why not?
Yeah, I mean they certainly could offer up a decent package. And so let's see: Boston, New York, Brooklyn, the Clippers, and the Lakers. Five teams. Oh, and we can throw in the Nuggets as a surprise. I think the Nuggets have a realistic. Kind of dark horse possibility. I don't know.
Possibly. I think that's fair.
Okay. So let's see.
Well, so the way I was trying to figure it out, and I saw a post on Reddit, some guy on Celtics Reddit basically ranked every single asset that could go into an Anthony Davis trade. And I thought it was an interesting post. It was some horrendous rankings. I don't remember what they were, but I remember I didn't like them. So I thought, it's the perfect podcast, off-season podcast topic, but like, of those, what we just say, six teams, who could realistically trade for Anthony Davis. If you're David Griffin, what is your number one asset? What is the number one thing that you think is like the best thing? If you ideally could build a package out of anything, what's your number one ranked asset from those six teams?
I think like specifically who's the number one person or thing?
Yeah. Like is it the number three pick from the Knicks? Is it Jason Tatum? Is it D'Angelo Russell? Is it Jamal Murray? Like, who's your number one best thing that they could get back realistically from those six teams?
Well, if you're building around, like, okay, I guess it depends on a couple of things. Are they re-signing Julius Randle in this scenario? Because if they're re-signing Julius Randle, then it may change. In that case, I think maybe either Tatum or Brandon Ingram, like one of the wing scorers would be my most highly rated guys. So choosing.
And that completely changes if Julius Randle's there.
Well, you know what? Maybe not.
I would have to agree. I think Ingram having his heart or his whatever condition he had, the blood clot. As unfortunate as it is, I just don't think that he is up there in terms of value anymore, and that's just because it's kind of such an unknown. So I think otherwise him and Tatum would have been really close, like 1-2. But I don't even know if Ingram's in like the top five anymore, just because there's so much uncertainty there. But I would agree that I think Tatum is the number one asset. I think he's better than D'Angelo Russell. He's better than Jamal Murray. There's no other players from those teams that I think is better than Jason Tatum or has more upside than Jason Tatum. And I don't think there are any picks. I don't think the three pick, which is probably going to be RJ Barrett, the four pick, or any of the future picks that those teams hold are really that like are more valuable than Tatum.
Well, okay. Do you think that's actually true? Do you think like the three – I know you just said it, so you probably think it's true. But the third pick, let's just say RJ Barrett. RJ Barrett's a wing scorer, and does the promise of RJ Barrett bring more value than the whatever upside you consider Jason Tatum to have? Jason Tatum now has been in the league a couple of years, and you see his flaws. You start to see the things that may not be, I don't know, palatable. Or you wonder what he's going to work on. I don't know what their talent evaluators think.
To me, it's the fact that Jason Tatum has been in the league for 2 years and been a productive player, and we've seen him. He didn't take the kind of linear leap that you would hope in year two as he did in year one, but he was still a very productive player, and I think the fact that he just showed up and did it at an NBA level. To me, that's more valuable than the promise of a draft pick. I understand that you get more team control, and who knows that, like RJ Barrett, he was the number one ranked recruit ahead of Zion Williamson. Like, he has a lot of potential. His stepdad is Steve Nash. Like, that's kind of a crazy X factor. I understand it would also be cool to kind of draft him and RJ or Zion and RJ Barrett and pair them together. But, you know, like Markelle Fultz was a sure thing. And so I just think into like the value of seeing a guy being able to actually put it together on the court, I think that's more valuable than the promise of a pick, because it's the same thing. It's like RJ Barrett, he could be good as Jason Tatum. Like, why not just take what Jason Tatum is? For all these reasons, I think that the Knicks number three pick comes in at number two on my list, because of all the reasons we answered. But I think Tatum is a clear, just because he exists, is that much better than like the potential of RJ Barrett.
So, and this goes back to my Julius Randle thing, which I don't know that they bring him back, because it kind of duplicates Zion to a degree.
Yeah.
But the Knicks with the third pick offer a wing scorer, but also would offer Mitchell Robinson as a rim protecting guy who can start fast breaks. Like, I think the formula around Zion, we've talked about a little bit, you need to get back a wing scorer. If you're going to keep Drew Holiday, let's assume you keep Drew as the veteran. So, and we'll, if he even wants to be there in this, maybe he asks for a trade too. But let's assume they keep him. You need a wing guy to score, and you need a big to protect the rim, block shots, get out there, trail, set picks, that type of guy. So the Celtics offer Jason Tatum and Robert Williams. Robert Williams might as well be a draft pick at this point. What he's done in the NBA is minimal, but you've seen the potential there. Mitchell Robinson has also shown his potential. You get a rookie wing scorer that happens to be a very close friend of your future franchise guy. I see the value. Like, that number three pick has a very close to Jason Tatum value, I think. Especially that Barrett and Zion are close friends, and making him feel comfortable in where he's going and giving him a friend to be there with, that kind of helps. It kind of helps. It just helps.
Does having two players on the same rookie scale, or like the same rookie timeline, I'm trying to remember of like when that has worked, basically the both would be due for the same like extensions at the same time. And can you spend, even if they're just like 1-2 in rookie of the year, can you spend $70 million in like one offseason on those two guys?
Great point. That's a reason why they may not. And that, I've said multiple times that the staggering of contracts definitely has value, because you don't have to make those decisions. You can ease into them. So that would be very difficult to do, for sure. They would have to be an absolute dynamic duo that you know that you're, after 4 years in the league, they've proven like this is working. You gotta get this guy. But I can totally see having the staggered, like Tatum, Jalen, you know, different guys coming in at different times and making those decisions in multiple years rather than all at once. So I'd still rank Tatum one. Now, should we just assume that for now that we're just going to assume that Brandon Ingram is healthy? Because if they're going to.
We can't assume that. Like, there's no idea. We have to go on like information that's available.
Right. So, but he's had it corrected, apparently. Like, you don't know until a blood clot comes back. Like, for now, you just assume that it's.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not a medical doctor. I don't even know how a team would go about like evaluating that. And like they would like probably want all the team doctors to come in. And I don't even know how, if you could figure that out, if someone's going to like not have blood clots come back.
So let me ask you this. If
it's such a X factor,
there's zero chance that the Lakers can trade for Anthony Davis if Brandon Ingram is not healthy or perceived to not be healthy, right? You need Brandon Ingram to be in that deal.
I mean, I would assume so. I guess how much do you value? We were talking about the number three pick being RJ Barrett. How much do you value? Like, where does the number four pick that the Lakers have come in after that? And then would it be enough to have the four pick Kuzma, Josh Hart, Lonzo Ball, all the other things that the Lakers could offer? I guess I think without Brandon Ingram, it definitely is a tough road for the Lakers. But again, I think it's like, how much do you value that the fourth pick now? Is it the like just below the third pick, or does another player sneak in there in terms of like who has more value in this trade market?
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend to know all that much, other than to say the people I trust to know a lot about this, everybody says the drop off from 3 to 4 is significant. Like, the fourth pick has value, but it's not like this is seen as a three player draft. Like, I know Zion, I know Ja Morant, I know RJ Barrett. After that, there's a drop off, and different people have different opinions as to who can be the next, you know, big thing. And you know, do you take the four pick and say they might pair Zion with his other teammate Cam Reddish? I don't know. There's there's a lot of disagreement over the exact value of the fourth pick. Like, this is why, if I'm ranking the assets, the fourth pick doesn't rank above any of the possibilities of many of these like premier players. Like the Knicks' best asset is the third pick. The Celtics.
Oh, absolutely. Their players are trash.
They're
not trash, but not relatively trash. In this entire example, they're on the trash end of the spectrum.
Right. Of the wing scorers that they might get, Kevin Knox does not rank anywhere close right now to Tatum or Ingram. But that third pick is what's going to get them. The third pick is going to be a guy that's more valuable than any of these players that they could offer. So, but the fourth pick for the Lakers, nowhere close. Like, that's, I think you'd rather have Kevin Knox than the fourth pick. You know what I mean? Like, I think you'd rather have Jaylen.
Oh,
Brown.
So it's really far down the. No, I agree with you that it's not. Like, there's probably four or five, six different players who I would slide in there before the fourth pick. I don't know where exactly that is. I think the fourth pick is probably more valuable than Kevin Knox at this point, but I don't know. That's just random conjecture. I have no idea about what Kevin Knox is going to be or what who the possible fourth pick is. I know that people like the Culver kid from Texas Tech, but I don't know. Yeah, I would definitely, after Tatum and the three pick, there's like, I think, five to six players who I would much rather have than that fourth pick.
Why don't we take a quick break here, and we'll get back into it, continue trying to hash this out and ranking these assets. We'll do that right after we come back here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Let's continue our discussion here. We're trying to figure out who has the most best assets. I don't know if that makes sense, but to trade for Anthony Davis and try to figure out who can actually make this deal. So Celtics fans are going to say Tatum. Lakers fans are going to say Brandon Ingram. Okay. I would say if Ingram is healthy, let's do this. If Ingram is healthy, is he the second best asset?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay. And if he's not healthy, then he's actually a worthless asset.
Then he's off the board. Then we have no idea.
Then we have no idea. So if he's off the board, having had this discussion with the fourth pick, the Lakers are off the board. And there's already a tenuous relationship there. But I think all of the talk about Gail Benson over my dead body, I think that goes away a little bit when David Griffin says, look, we're going to do what's best for our team and screw whatever they say, because you can't get into a petty war with the Lakers. Even if the Lakers win a championship out of this, by the time the Pelicans are ready to win their championship, if it works out that way, that is gone. Like, so forget about all of that stuff. I think Griffin and Trajan Langdon are going to be smart enough to say, we're going to take the best deal possible. So if Ingram is healthy, he's number two. Then number three becomes what? The third pick, I would assume. So.
Yeah,
or,
I think
or
so.
Is Kyle Kuzma above the third pick?
No, it's not Kyle Kuzma. Well, here's the question. Are there any future draft assets that are – so the Celtics have the Grizzlies pick, which is top 6% protected and then unprotected the following year. The Knicks have a bunch of Dallas Mavericks picks. I'm not sure what the Nets have. I don't know if the Clippers have much because we have their first-round pick this year. But there are a number of players that I would list before I got to Kyle Kuzma. D'Angelo Russell, Jamal Murray, Jaylen Brown even – other players on the Nets, Caris LeVert. Maybe I'm just underselling what Kyle Kuzma is, but I just think there's a lot more potential star talent. I think Kyle Kuzma is a very good role player, but his ceiling is just like a solid NBA starter. And maybe that's like what you're looking for in terms of like the second piece of your draft haul, but I don't know. I don't think Kyle Kuzma anywhere near some of the players I listed.
So let's go this way. What's more valuable, the third pick in this year's draft or the Memphis pick? The third pick in this year's draft gets you RJ Barrett, which, like we've said before, can be great for their relationship, him in Zion and helping you out, but also puts two players on the same timeline. The Grizzlies pick top six protected next year, so you could get the number seven pick in next year's draft or the whatever pick in 2 years. And you can say that with John Morant going number two, and the Grizzlies now looking allegedly to trade Mike Conley, how much more valuable does it make that Grizzlies pick, and where does it rank?
I mean, I feel like I've only gone to the Danny Ainge school of asset hoarding, and like I like the idea of having a future pick. If I'm the Pelicans moving forward, a potential pick that could be a very top high pick by the time the Grizzlies actually convey it, because if they trade Mike Conley, I think they're in a bottom six team next year. So that also goes along the lines of kind of staggering contracts. And so maybe in 2 years, Zion has taken the Pelicans to maybe he's made a playoff run, but then you still have the chance of having a lottery pick while still being competitive. So I don't know. I don't know anything about the prospect class of 2021. But who knows? Maybe you could get RJ Barrett from that draft.
The more I think about it, I like the idea from a Pelicans perspective of getting a package of players that are on slightly different timelines but are still on rookie contracts, and getting this asset from the Celtics, because assuming that this is you're just projecting out, if things go well, Zion does well, and you get whatever mix of players around them, then in year one, it's going to be a struggle. You're probably not going to make the playoffs. It's still the Western Conference, but you're going to show some promise. Year two, you start to move up. You've got your incremental progression. If Zion really is a star, then year two, he starts to make a leap. Okay, that's the superstar year two, not expectation, but best case scenario. Year three, now you've got star Zion with great young supporting cast. This is their beginning of their playoff run. Year three Zion is maybe fifth seed Pelicans, young and dangerous. If you can take that team and add a potential top five pick to that, now you have your team that's going to start getting expensive, having a young player produce on a rookie scale contract for the next 2, 3, 4 years. That, I think, has a lot of value when you're building on a team, when you're thinking about future future cap considerations. You need that young player producing on a rookie scale deal. Just like the Celtics will need Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown if like this past season, they really needed those guys to be producing. And with those two, they were still a tax team. Imagine if they weren't on rookie contracts. So really thinking this through, I really highly value that Memphis pick. I may rank that Memphis pick slightly above the third pick.
I'm shocked that the two of us have managed to say that the Boston Celtics have the most attractive offer to trade for Anthony Davis. It's astounding how we landed on this.
But I
don't disagree with your logic, by the way. I'm just saying, like, it's funny.
I feel like that's a logical, like, I'm not just sitting there like, say, out of hand. Like, I originally thought the third pick may be more valuable, but I really think that your point in having those two contracts at the same time, it's like you get you get RJ Barrett. If you believe RJ Barrett can be a future star, it depends on what you value, how you project RJ Barrett out. Really, do you think RJ Barrett right now is a future stud potential MVP or all-star kind of player? Is he the guy that came into the season as the future number, the consensus number one pick before Zion did all of his stuff? If you think RJ Barrett is going to be that guy and your talent evaluators are all in agreement and say, yeah, Barrett's a stud player, then okay, then you probably want to go get that guy. But if you don't, if you think there are questions about him, if you think he's on a par with a Jason Tatum, then the value of that third pick plummets because you're not going to pay that guy third slot money and then have those two guys come up at the same time and maybe potentially waste that pick. So you would get your Tatum guy and then you that future pick. So for me, I don't think RJ Barrett's going to be that level of player, but I don't know. I really don't trust my opinion that strongly. So
is there the counter argument I could say is that it's not necessarily that it's RJ Barrett, but is there a situation where you just want to put Zion around some players who are good now? So maybe it's the Denver package where you just get, you put Zion next to Gary Harris and Jamal Murray, or it's the Nets package where you get, I don't know, Caris LeVert and D'Angelo Russell, where it's still your contracts are staggered. It's just less of a, it's more of a trying to accelerate this and get the most out of Zion as early as possible instead of putting him immediately on a team that's going to be rebuilding. How quickly do you want to do that? Because I can see a scenario where it's like, well, why should we waste 2 years of Zion being bad and waiting for that third year when we could just have him develop around a team that's already a core that's already pretty good. I understand that if you're doing that, you're probably trading Drew Holiday. I don't know if you're putting Jamal Murray and D'Angelo Russell. All those guys could also be hypothetical two guards. Who knows? Maybe you can pair those guys together. But do you want to just get some established NBA young upside players, but not necessarily go into full, I wouldn't say necessarily tanking, but it's definitely rebuilding mode for the first 2 years of Zion.
Well, I would say my cautionary tale to the New Orleans Pelicans about trying to push that timeline is to look at what the New Orleans Pelicans did the last time they had a transformative player in Anthony Davis, and they tried to push that timeline. And they spent a lot of money and a lot of assets trying to do that, trying to do what you just said, and not quote unquote waste the first 2 years of this future megastar and put more NBA ready players around him. The problem is, if you do that, you got to remember that Zion's not NBA ready necessarily. Everybody agrees that he's probably a future superstar, but the first year in the league is still the first year in the league. And there is a longer schedule. There is a lot more to learn. The talent level is greater. The things that you used to do in college aren't all going to necessarily work the same way. The stuff that he used to be able to do at Duke isn't always going to do. He's not going to do the exact same stuff. I mean, maybe he could, but you have to still give him – you're not wasting those 2 years because he's, 18, 19 years old. That's why you draft these kids so early, so you can give them that year or two to get their footing, that rookie year, get your footing, figure things out. What works, what doesn't, what can you do to get to your spot? These guys that you used to blow by, you're not blowing by them anymore. The guys you used to defend and be able to help off of with no consequence – well, you can't help off your assignment as much anymore. These are very complicated things that you got to learn. The travel, the media, all of that stuff. So I would lean against that approach. That's not my particular approach for a guy like Zion. It's possible. I mean, we've seen if they want to do it now, if they're under a mandate to do it now, then sure. Then the Denver Nuggets and their assets and Jamal Murray and Gary Harris and whomever else they would throw in there would be more valuable. But then, the Nuggets would also be super a really, really great team, and their draft picks would be meaningless. So, I guess it depends. I don't like that approach for Zion. Give him the year or two and let him grow with youth around him.
Yeah, I guess as a question, it was like, is do you think Zion can be like a top five NBA player, and so you're just like waiting for him to blossom into that and finding the right pieces around him? I don't know. I don't think, like, you talk about all the adjustments that rookies have to make, but you're basically, but through this method, signing up for you're going to do that with Zion, and then you're going to do that with some other potential guy in 2 years, and you're always going to be like, I guess, potentially waiting for the young guys to kind of develop. And so I don't know. I don't know if I have a strong take either way, but I do think there could be in some value in just putting Zion around guys who are better. And I feel like when you play basketball with guys who are better, you tend to get better quicker. And so I think there's like a lot to that with the current Celtics teams, where they're able to play with some better players and able to kind of see how the game is supposed to be played rather than just being on a bad team. And so I don't think you want to bring Zion necessarily into an environment that's guaranteed to be losing or not. So I don't know. I've fizzled out. I don't know which one is best.
Well, and this is why it's so hard to evaluate. Like this entire practice of ours in this podcast, it's difficult. You don't know what the mandate is from ownership. Do they say, build us a winner ASAP? Go get us. I want a playoff team now. Well, I mean, really, the best way to do that would be to not trade Anthony Davis. Like that, you put Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday with Zion Williamson, and you just let that develop. But
they could just do that. They don't have no obligations to trade Anthony Davis. He's under contract for two more years.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
That's the boldest play. Maybe that's the highest asset, is just having the stones not to trade Anthony Davis and saying, sure, sit out a year.
Yeah, I mean, he can't do that. So, I mean, they start to lose their leverage after, I think, Christmas. I do think there's a possibility that they will actually challenge Anthony Davis just to come to camp and play 2 months. Like, we hear you. We know you want to be traded. Just come to camp, play next to Zion, meet the kid, get on the court in November, December. In the middle of December, there's a pseudo deadline that expires when all of the free agents that sign can then be traded. So we'll reopen the trade talks in December, and your Christmas gift will be a trade. Like, we'll, but just do it.
Unless the Pelicans come out 25-2 and they're storming the West.
Exactly. That's exactly what they would be saying. Like, and I said this with Jay, like, they went out, the Pelicans addressed all of the things that Davis has been talking about. They got a better front office. They've got some good structure in that front office, experienced people. Trajan Langdon is very highly regarded. The Brooklyn front office did a masterful job in a horrible situation. So you've got two qualified people there. You've got, they poached that Suns trainer. So they're fixing the health issue. They're doing a lot of the tickets have been sold because of the Zion kind of madness. So people are going to be at the arena. They could
maybe they'll be at the arena.
Maybe you could say to Davis, like, look, November, December, that's all. Just see what it's like. See what it works. And if you hate it, then fine. We'll trade you. But if you don't, then we got something here. You got 5-year Supermax sitting on the table. It's there for whenever you want to sign it. Who knows? I think that's still a bit of a long shot, but it's enough of a not long shot that I'd be scared. I'd be scared if I was the Celtics. That's exactly what they want. So anyway, on that note, let's just come back. We'll wrap it up. We'll see the rest of, not the rest, but as much as we can get through of the remaining assets to see if the Celtics do indeed have the best offer, if another team can come in and swoop in. Again, remember, Father's Day is coming up. Get your dad one of those Grip 6 belts. They are trying to literally be the best belt ever made, Grip Six. It's a very good gift for any of the guys in your family. There's a women's collection too. No holes, no flaps. The buckle lays flat against your waist. It moves with however, you know, you're trying to, like I said, lose those couple extra pounds. It shrinks with you. It's not like notches. You don't have to put another notch in your belt when you get super skinny. Like all that stuff. Go to the grip6.com. Grip, the number six. Grip6.com/lock. LOCKE. And they've got a special offer for you. So it's a great Father's Day gift. Check it out. We'll be right back in the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Welcome back. It's a jam takeover. This is on the Locked On Celtics podcast. But something John said going into last break I thought was interesting. He said that the Celtics, in the scenario where the Celtics don't land Anthony Davis, and basically in his scenario was the Pelicans basically just hold on to him. But I think in any scenario where they don't land Anthony Davis, you said it'd be bad for the Celtics. And I'm slowly coming around to the idea of just team run it back. Re-sign Kyrie. You don't necessarily need Anthony Davis. You let Terry go. You sign Al Horford to hopefully an extension and make it more flexible there. But I still think that's a damn, like, I know that Celtics team just had one of the more disappointing seasons. A lot of that had to do with expectations. But I still think that's a very solid team. Without Terry Rozier, I think the rotation kind of makes a little bit more sense. I think guys are humbled by the first year, and I think Gordon Hayward should be better. So what are your thoughts about just, like, team run it back? Just let Terry go and let's try this again.
With Kyrie? I think that's still the best. The best scenario is getting Anthony Davis. The second best scenario is that, I think, is that running it back. I definitely think that there's value to that. You know, the key thing there is what has Kyrie learned? Like, I think it starts with, has Kyrie been kind of humbled to a little bit of a point? I still think last season, like, it's important to remember last season was a very, very good season. But I also think it's important for Kyrie to just understand that he needs to make those other guys better. He needs to facilitate their growth. And we've gone over this. If that guy comes back, if that Kyrie comes back, just a hint of contrition, not that he's going to come groveling back. Like, I don't want to make it sound like I'm saying come beg for our forgiveness, but I think there's got to be like a boxer who gets punched in the mouth and knocked down, not necessarily knocked out, but you realize, like, okay, if I'm not careful, I can get knocked down. So I think if that guy comes back, then team run it back can be still very, very good. I think Gordon Hayward will come back much different. Like, just taking the Gordon Hayward piece, the Gordon Hayward that starts this upcoming season is 180 degrees from the Gordon Hayward that started last season. And how much of last year's problems came from guys who didn't understand why Brad was playing Gordon Hayward. And now if he comes back and you say, ah, okay, now I understand why Brad is playing Gordon Hayward. Just that and taking Terry Rozier out of the mix, those two things can be worth running it back. And then add that Kyrie element and you can still have a very, very good team. I do think you probably need to get some more help somehow, but I think that can be a very good team.
I think it's not just Kyrie is like I think his growth or his coming back in the offseason having learned something is important, but I just think the fact of, like, the entire team, like, there is some value in having continuity in the NBA, and then having the entire team come back from just a disappointing season, but now knowing, like, better how to deal with expectations. I think expectations would be much lower, which I think they would have, everybody on that starting roster would come back with something to prove. And I think just the year of Brad Stevens, just knowing, I believe in Brad Stevens' ability to learn, and so he clearly struggled this year to handle a roster like that, but I think there's things he can do better moving forward. I just think the whole team, having gone through that and then removing – I think Terry Rozier playing in a contract year was not helpful for – I think he had a bitter, like a bigger ego than he necessarily should have, but if in team run it back, you just – you don't have anyone playing for that next contract. Like, I just think it's the focus comes in, especially with Kyrie. Kyrie's five seasons before this has either ended in injury or the NBA finals. Like, this is his first year as like an exit this early. I feel like there's a lot of motivation for him to come back and just be better. So I don't know. I'm leaning towards that because I think that's as good chance of what that might actually happen. Although who knows with what's going on in Kyrie's head.
I do want to throw one minor correction in there, in that Jaylen Brown next season is sort of playing for his new contract because he's a restricted free agent. Not that it matters that much, because he knows that the Celtics are going to match probably if he stays whatever he's offered, but he's still going to be playing for
a
contract.
And he'd be in the same position as Terry was this year, so that's fair.
Yeah.
Maybe Jaylen has learned enough from watching what Terry did this year and his own personal journey on the season to not necessarily worry about that.
Also, Jaylen has shown that he's going to play enough minutes. Like, he's going to play more minutes than Terry was. So I'm not as worried, but there is that element. If Aron Baynes comes back and exercises his player option, he would be an unrestricted free agent. Not that he's the type of player to be worried about his next contract, but also a guy who would be a free agent in the summer of 2020 in this scenario. So just a couple of those things out there. But yeah, so do we want to finish up our evaluations here of our
I actually have to go, so maybe we can do it later on this week on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
All right. Part two, I guess.
Part two.
Quickly before we wrap it up, are you leaning towards at least the Celtics having the best offer at this point?
Oh, I think they clearly do, just because of Tatum and the Memphis pick. I don't think any team can pair two things like that. Like, the Knicks may have the three pick. I just don't think the total of what the Knicks can do, the total of what the Lakers can do, make any sense. And although the Nets and the Nuggets are kind of interesting team, and the Clippers, so we didn't really mention it all. I think the Clippers have an interesting team. They're all I just don't think it's as promising as what the Celtics can put together with Tatum and the Memphis pick.
Okay. I agree. I mean, obviously shocking, but I do agree that the Celtics do have a bit of an edge. It's closer than it would have been otherwise, but I think the Celtics do still have an edge. All right, so let's wrap up the show. Let's start by thanking our sponsors, Hotels.com. You can go to Hotels.com and book your trip to go see Dad, or go and whatever, have a summer vacation. Untuck it. Untuckit.com. Use the promo code NBA to get 20% off a bunch of clothing that looks great, casual, untucked, not sloppy. It fits all shapes and sizes. Grip 6 belts, Grip 6, the number 6, grip6.com/lock, L-O-C-K-E, for a special offer on those belts that are stylish and fit any shape and size. And of course, you can listen to the podcast if you're a new listener. Go ahead and subscribe to the show on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Celtics. Regular listeners, give us that good written review, a 5-star rating, and share the podcast. Tell everybody, listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King.